Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfpaw.
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Tony Wolfpaw for The Chat Room. Another morning that we will dedicate for a good chat on the paranormal. We have with us today Linda and Denise Masanimtiwa. They are both brothers and sister that do paranormal investigation. In the short time that I was able to know this group, and you can follow them on Facebook, they do have a page called L&D Paranormal Seekers, and I have them on. I like the page, so you can follow them there. And Linda was the person that we made that first contact with. She's an author. She has a book that is called The True Ghost Experience and the Other Unexplained. So I have them with me here this morning. Good morning, Linda.
Oh, good morning, Anthony. It's Tony.
And I have also, Dennis is also very close to you.
Yeah, hi, Tony. How you doing?
Oh, hey. Hi. I like it because both of you are brothers, a brother and sister that do paranormal investigation. I know that Linda mentioned that she's an author. And in the time that we were talking, I also know that, Dennis, you're a bit of a skeptic.
Yes. I kind of, along that line, I'm more like looking at it as more scientifically, I guess.
Yes, the paranormal field. It's when looking for the experience, at least for some people, you know, that we've been to places that are known to be, you know, like they call it the haunted, right? For some reason, it has some paranormal activity that people cannot explain, and not all the time. When we go, and we have seen it in other occasions, people experience it. It's like almost say, you know what? Every night we hear these noises, or we hear these tappings, or something, you know. And boom, you go there, and nothing happens. And for a person that relies on that hard evidence, you know, it's. I've seen it, and you know, you set your equipment up, you put everything away, and then right at the moment that you're at your van and you're in your car, you're about to, boom, something happens and all cameras were off. You know, sometimes hauntings can be that much intelligent. Have you guys ever experienced something like that?
Yeah, I think we, you know, a few times. It just pops up, like you said. It's just, I don't know, we've had so many different kinds. I have, and Linda too, but so we just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, we, you know, like you say, when, like, you're going to these places that are haunted or whatever, and then you're there to document something, and then as soon as you turn it off and then something happened, I think it's more meant for a personal experience, because, you know, it's really like an intelligent, like you said. It's like they know that they're being recorded, and they don't want to be, but they want you to experience it, I guess. So they make stuff happen, a ghost spirit, after everything's off. Then you go, oh, you know, we turned my recorders off, you know. But so it's just a personal experience.
I know that when you talking and mentioning the book of True Ghost Experiences that you have out there, I think that it this is like all of the experience of personal investigations that both of you have made together or individually. In those experiences and the stories that you share, which one would be that one that really stood out from the rest?
Well, for myself, I guess is when I was, I guess, attacked by a shadow figure in my home where I was living, where I'm living now. It was totally unexpected, because at the time, I was sort of into the ghost shows and stuff, but I wasn't really into any investigations or anything like that. I didn't have internet at the time, and it was like I was getting ready for work, and it was just a regular routine day. I went to the restroom, and then there was something in the door. It looked like a bear. It was, like, hunched over. That's why it made me stop and kind of stare at it, like, well, you know, is that really there, or what am I seeing, you know? Then all of a sudden it stood up, and it was a very big man, kind of man body shape, with no details. It was just like a shadow with a head and the rest of the body. And then it made me stop. You're like, oh, my God, like somebody broke into our house. That's what I really thought. Like, oh, you know, my heart started going, and it was my breathing was going and stuff. And all of a sudden it came at me. It lunged towards me. And then when it got really close with his hands, it was like an outstretched hand, made me fall backwards on the bed that was behind me. And it was on top of me, sort of, I guess, you know, in a spirit way. And it was going through, his hands were going through my throat. And I could actually feel it. It was like a tingly electrical sensation all through my throat, and it was really cold. He just kept swiping my neck. I'm thinking it was trying to choke me, but because it didn't have a physical being or body, it couldn't actually physically choke me. But it was just like a scare tactic kind of thing, because it really scared me, and I was like frozen with my hands up, you know, in like a cross position in front of my face and neck area, because I was trying to protect myself, like self-defense mode. And then I realized it's not really physically there, but I can see it. It's like something, a figure there, but so it can't really physically hurt me. And I guess my mind started changing, like, I got to push this figure, a man or whatever it is, off me. And then when I started thinking about not being so scared, you know, the figure backed off of me right away. And then it kind of stood there, and then it took off. So I'm not sure if it was my thinking changed, my emotion, you know, scared it off, or it was just backed off on its own or something. But as the only detail that I got was when it was on me and it was choking my neck, and I could actually see details of his hands and the jacket sleeve, and I can look inside the sleeve up his arm a little bit, like the forearm, and I could see he was wearing like a ring, like a thick gold ring, and his hands were kind of like an older person's hands. They were kind of thick and worn, like that. But, you know, but it was all gray color. Then it just took off, and it never came back. You know, I was like, oh, I'm glad it never comes back. But I didn't know what it was, and I didn't tell anybody for several months. After this happened, I was so scared, and then I thought, well, maybe people will think I'm crazy. Because, you know, who has this happen to them, you know? And I've never heard anybody talk about an experience like that until later, you know.
A lot of people that will experience such things like this will, you know, first of all, it's almost like these are a little hard to document because it's only about a personal experience. And what we've seen is that not all of these manifestations are, you know, shared with other people. For example, I can say that I felt one time something like that, and what I felt is almost like if somebody had put a pillow over my face, and I remember feeling that pressure. You know, we were laying down, and of course, I was a caretaker in the place, so that when it was that hurricane season, I had to go there in case of failure with the alarm system or anything. You know, we had to take that measure. Somebody had to spend the night, and I felt that pressure like if someone had sat over me. But
oh, really?
I didn't panic. You know, I just said, "Give it your best shot," because I know this place, so I know the manifestations there, And I know when so, and people say, no, well, that's impossible. You have been a witness to that. I know that many other people might be a witness to that. We witnessed that, but we had no one else to say. At the time, I only took note, and I wrote it down. That was something that I did. I would register everything. If I had a hard time sleeping, I would register that too, because my boss has to keep track of what's going on. And I have to, you know, let them know what's going on. And I stayed in this huge place. It was a castle. It had 8 floors. So, you know, we slept in the basement. And when I say we slept in the basement, it's like a lot of people, because, it was just me and the security cameras, plus the ones that do the walking around the perimeters of the property. But not a lot of people register these things. So you were able to write them down and put them on your book. So I want everyone to know that we will be sharing the link, so that way if you would like to acquire this manuscript, that you can, be able to connect and communicate, because we love to read about these things, especially with their people with that credible reputation. This is not just something that was written just to entertain. This is something that was written because it was actual proof of something. Now, I asked Dennis, have you ever had an experience similar to this in your personal life?
Well, mine were mostly smaller that led up to the one big one that I had was I used to live in this house. Before this one, where I was, the airport bought it out, so I ended up moving. But I was living there. A lot of things were going on that at the time I knew. I wasn't, knew nothing about ghosts. I wasn't thinking anything about it. Things disappearing and things happening. I had people over at the time, roommates and stuff. And at one time, one of the ladies was laying on the couch in the morning. There was a ladder outside, and it fell to the window, and it was there all night long, and the repairman left it there, and there was no wind or nothing. It just fell to the window by itself, and I didn't think nothing of it, and just like at the time and things like that. And there's another time where my other sister was staying over, and the next morning she asked me, was I in her room? And I said no, and then she asked my other roommate the same question. We weren't in your room. I said, why? She says, well, I saw the black shadow go across the closet door. And I didn't mean, it didn't affect me. I was just thinking, oh, yeah. And then it was always cold in there. Could never fix the heater. It's always things that are cold. And I never thought of it. I just think it's the heater, something's wrong with it. Just keep going up there and trying to fix it. And as time went by, one night I was asleep, and I saw this black figure coming toward me. And I thought, it was like it was real, and it was just coming toward me, and all of a sudden it started choking me. Next thing I woke up, and I had my hands on around my neck, and that really scared me. I was like, oh, what's going on? Since then, after I left that place, and I moved out shortly after that, and I don't know if it followed me, because at the new place where I'm at, it was there till I think they tore down the houses, that I kept having these dreams about where I used to live, it was real. It was like I was really there, and it kept constantly taking me back over there, and that was... It was kind of scary, because you couldn't get away from these dreams no matter what. It just kept on going back and for a couple of years until they finally mowed down all those houses, and then I think that's when it disappeared.
This is recurrent dreams. People that dream and you know that sometimes we dream and we wake up. And all of a sudden we say, geez, I don't know what that really meant. But going back to a dream consistently, It's something that is very rare because our brains are constantly changing pictures and thoughts and activities and all that. So and to kind of like go back to something like that, I've heard people share with me stories of that recurring dreams. And what I'm listening here is that both of you mentioned something that. You know, almost grabbed you by the neck. And mentioning this the shadow figures and when I've heard about the shadow figures, the shadow people like they call them, they say, well, okay, it's just something that just darts. So you know, it's like you can, and some people have been successful in capturing these things on film. Now. What happened to you, and what happened to you, Linda? They of these two shadow figures, they happened in separate places.
Yes, they did. Separate houses.
Separate houses. Wow, I know that some people in the chat room are listening right now. Have you had an experience with the shadow figures like this? In future shows, just send me a message so you can please share this with me. It's getting interesting, this of the shadow people and the effect that it has on some of the people that live in these areas. I've not heard about the, you know, but it seems like both of you, these are, would you consider these like a little hostile hauntings?
I guess the one time when he actually attacked me, because it attacked me, it was on me, it seemed like it was trying to choke me. I would say that was hostile. But when I actually finally told somebody about what happened to me, one of my friends, and they were all saying, no, it's just probably a family member coming in to visit, because my dad was really sick at the time. I said, well, I don't think so, you know, because why would a family or a friend attack me, like, you know? I mean, why would they do that? And then leave, and then I don't even know who it was or anything. I mean, I didn't recognize them. So I don't think so. I think it was more of a hostile attack. I think for both of us, kind of.
Yeah.
And then just now, this morning, before the show started, he was mentioning about this video we did at the Pioneer Saloon. And when we went in there by ourselves, we did like a little, kind of like a lockdown, but not really locked in there, but because he had this new flare camera that he bought, and he was trying to test it out. And since we know the Pioneer Saloon is pretty haunted, we decided to go there, you know, on the permission of Noel, the owner, the caretaker. So I had the video set up, and he was just now this morning telling me that he heard a voice talking. You know, we did this last year, the video, and I just saw it was like a shadow figure again on the video. This time we actually caught it, and he actually saw something or somebody standing there, and then you could see the shadow moving away. But then he was mentioning today that he was listening with the headphones on, and he says he can actually make out somebody saying either, can you see me, or something like that. But it's hard to hear. Is you have to have headphones on and listen to it. And it actually does sound like it says, can you see me? Or can you see me? And then it flies away.
Sounds like a lady's voice, woman, female.
Yeah, I didn't hear it until this morning when he was showing it to me, you know, talking about shadow people. I didn't know we were going to talk about shadow people, but he was...
Well, you know what? There, people on the chat room are chatting amongst each other, and they are also sharing a little bit of the experience that they've had with shadow people, and it all sounds so very similar. It all sounds so very similar with the approaches that they have onto people. I mean, I'm reading it right now as we're talking, and it's a something to look into. When both of you go on investigations, you go to investigations to study the paranormal, like me, when I hear that there's a haunting in a place and I want to know more about the hauntings, because I have not received many calls. I think that in the years I've received just like two or three calls to go to a home, and out of the from the three calls, I would say one had a legitimate activity. One had legitimate activity. I remember the one of those first calls that I went. It was a huge house, and when we went to and we sat down, it was like they said, my mother-in-law passed away in that room that's right behind you. We had closed that door, and I have not opened that room ever since. She was found. You know, peacefully, she was sleeping, but we do believe that she haunts this place. Like I mentioned, that door was not open, and we don't not, you know, nothing has been moved, nothing else has been changed in that room. We preserve it the way it is. Would you mind having some tequila with me in that? And all of a sudden, it was just like something else. It turned into something else. I'm thinking, geez, I better get out of here somehow. I said, no, ma'am. We just came for the story to see, well, how, you know, this is affecting you and what is actually going on. This helps us understand a little bit more about the paranormal, and not everyone is open to share their stories. And I was trying to elegantly make my way back to the car until I found out that she had let loose some huge dogs, and I was like right there with me and my partner. We were just like looking at each other, that what's going to come next? You know, some things like these happen when you're out there in the in these investigations. Now, do you mentioned a place where you recorded this this video. Is there a possibility that in time you would share it with the public?
No, the video.
It's on the
like,
yeah, it's on my YouTube channel.
Okay, so there's a YouTube channel. Okay, so folks, we'll be sharing the links to that YouTube channel so that you and I can take a look at this video, this documentation of the possible shadow figure. And also remember that we're right now talking with Linda and Denise Masanimtiwa. They're both paranormal investigators. They have a Facebook page that you can check out. It's LND Paranormal Seekers. Okay, and both of you work as a team, but
right.
Also both of you have the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, and there's a book that you can also acquire. That Linda, we're going to work out so that way we can have this link and share it with the rest of the people that listen to the chat room, especially me. I would like to have the book myself, and so folks, all of these links will be shared. This video that we're talking about now, about this place, is this also mentioned in your book?
Yes, I put a whole chapter on. It's called the Pioneer Saloon, and it's located in Good Springs, Nevada. And it's like a really old mining town, originally. It's over 100 years old, and the saloon is actually over 100 years old too. It's basically the same building over 100 years. It's just they've added a few things.
The whole place is, I think.
Yeah, the whole place.
The whole city, the whole town, little town.
Yeah, it's a real small town, but I found out about this through a friend. She came from Canada. Her name is Janet Renzetti. She's also a paranormal investigator, but in Canada, her team is based. And then we were friends on Facebook for a while, and then she was coming down to Vegas for a wedding for, I think it was a cousin of hers. So we decided to meet up and actually meet each other in, you know, physically, in person. And then she was like, well, what can we do, you know, because we're both into the paranormal, the ghosts and stuff. So she found out through the concierge at the little hotel that she was staying about the Good Springs Ghost Hunt Tour, which actually will take you to Good Springs in the saloon, and they have like a tour guide or a guy explaining the equipment and all this, and actually you can go out and walk around and do stuff like that physically, not just somebody talking, you know, like a tour, guided tour. So she talked me into this, and so I went with her, and that's how I started going out to Good Springs. That was like in October of 2012 when I did this, only one time. And I started taking pictures, and I was getting all kinds of weird, funny-looking pictures when I was out there. And it was pretty cool. We ended up in the saloon. But I didn't know the owner at the time, who was Noel Sheckles. I didn't meet him, or he wasn't there. So that was then. And then I saw the Ghost Adventure Show episode about the saloon. And when they went in there and they got some evidence, I thought, oh, that's cool. You know, that's another show I used to watch, or I still watch. And then all of a sudden, on my Facebook account, something popped up, an ad saying they're going to do a haunted lockdown themselves. It's open to the public, and the first time ever we're going to do this at that saloon, the Pioneer Saloon. So I was like, hey, that's cool. So let me try it just once, see how it is. I've never done a lockdown before. I've never done any investigations until then, you know, 2013. So I went on this tour, and I met Noel, and then he started talking to me, and I met all the other people in the tour, and it wasn't really that scary. It was just, you know, they turned the lights out. But that's how I started going there, and I found out this place is very haunted, and he was telling all kinds of stories that he experienced there and all the other people who worked there and lived there and all the different history about this place. And after talking with Noel a little bit, he's been inviting me back to all the tours and to help them out during the lockdown events and stuff. So that's how I found out. But as I was going so many times, and my brother was getting interested, every time he buys a new piece of equipment, we always like to go out there to try it out, just me and him, with nobody else. So it's real quiet, and, you know, we can get more documented evidence, I guess, since it's just me and him and stuff. But, yeah, that place, to me, is very haunted. I mean, I don't know any of the stories out there, and there's still stuff coming out.
Yeah, we were out there one night, and during the times we were out there, this one particular night was pretty active. And that's when we caught I think that's the day we caught the shadow, right?
Yeah, that was he just bought a brand new flare camera. He was trying it out, so.
We caught the shadow. We caught a lot of EVPs. The phone kept ringing. And I'm
one night was really
this?
Active.
Who's calling this time of night? It's like 1 in the morning. Everybody knows it closes. And it just kept ringing and ringing. And, you know, we heard on EVP or something, this lady answered the phone. You know, a lot of activity was going on. And I actually, I don't know if you ever heard of this, but I actually scared the one of the ghosts in there. That wasn't on purpose or nothing. I was sitting there, and we were talking, and I was sitting on a bench, and we were just talking, and I was using my flare all night, so I had my camera with me, but I didn't really use it that much. So I decided, well, I'm going to take a picture and just, you know, out of nowhere, I decided to take the picture, only I didn't take it straight forward. I turned around, and I took I hit the camera, you know, I clicked it, and the flash went off, and all of a sudden you heard a God, real loud. It was like, we scared the ghost. I mean, I scared him, and I just couldn't stop laughing, and I just like, I'm sorry, did I scare you? And you could hear him. It didn't come out of any voice box or anything. It came like he was right there in the room. You could hear. It was just, and there were other times where we were in the restroom. There was supposed to be something in the restroom, and we were looking in there, and then when we came out, I heard the voice, like they're right in the room. I heard people talking.
These are like the disembodied voices, like that come out from like midair, that you feel that there's a real for it to sound, there should be a real person there. And those voices you don't hear all the time, and that really marks that there is something, you know, there. We have the electronic voice phenomena, like that come through electronically, and every time we do the show, this is something that doesn't happen all the time, But when I talk with people that are very close to the paranormal, like they're really into it, some things happen that either our audio starts to mess up somehow. There are spirits that are very attached, and they will want to take any opportunity to make their presence known. We've had experience that many times, and people. Let me just give you and share with you the reason. Now that we're talking about disembodied voices, if you guys take a listen to the interview that we shared with you yesterday with Steve Deshavi, I want you to notice every time that we're talking, there's some kind of a static noise. It's something, you know, it happens. At least I was listening to it, but I did not mention anything about it till now. If you listen carefully, you can hear voices of different kinds trying to come through, okay? Now, remember that Steve was a homicide detective, and he's retired from that, but he still goes to places just like we go to places. So take a close listen to the audio. Now, you're saying that you took a picture. And I'm thinking that you're taking these, well, when you take pictures like that, you're not really looking through the view and trying to get a good angle or anything like that. You just snap the picture, and you get a disembodied voice right at that moment. It's not an EVP, right? It's not an EVP. It's a disembodied voice that seems to be, you know, did not see the flash coming. Now, with that being said, do you guys, like, in personal opinions on both of you, how do you think that ghosts will perceive us? Are we like the ghost for them? You know, for ghosts, for something that is just there and you know, reacts quickly to something like that. I've never heard something like that before,
yeah,
but it was different. Do you think that, you know, that we're walking into their time zone in a moment, you know, in a moment of the day, we're walking into their time zone, and they are still alive, and you are the anomaly? Have you ever thought about things like that? I mean, I have. Are we the ghost for the ghost?
Myself... Yeah, I kind of thought about it like this, you know, like we're invading their space, sort of, and they're just kind of tolerating us, kind of. I mean, like we're in the physical world, but they're in like the spirit world, and sometimes it kind of overlaps.
I think that's why we take it. We're not how do you call it? Pushers. We don't push them.
We don't provoke. We don't provoke anything.
We don't provoke. You know, we're just there to talk to them.
Yeah, because
like a normal person, we're not doing that. That's why we kind of, I guess, deep in our mind, we are thinking of them, you know, as a person. So,
I mean, or they were once physical, but now they just transitioned into a.
I think that's why I told him I was sorry. I scared him. You know, I didn't mean to scare him. So, kind of like a real person there. So, that's how I think.
Well, since you guys had cameras and that, what was this captured on video?
Yes.
Only the
sound of the guy saying, "Oh God!" Yeah. But it wasn't.
Oh, so you guys
strong,
have these disembodied voices too. You see, folks, we have to take a listen and also visit their page. We're talking this morning today with Linda and Denise Masanimtiwa from L&D Paranormal Seekers, and wow, you know, it's these are the kind of things that makes the paranormal interesting, right? Is when someone has these tangible evidence of the afterlife and the activities of the afterlife, because when we hear a story, when we hear a ghost story. You know, no. Now that I'm hearing ghost stories, now that as an adult, you know, I appreciate the spiritual world more and more each time. When I used to hear ghost stories before, like you know, in I would say, well, you're just trying to scare me, you know. You're just trying to keep me away or to scare me, and it worked. When I was a, it worked. What kind of like things that you've encountered that and handling now that you have these experiences with the paranormal. What words of advice would you give to other people that are probably experiencing the same thing and don't know what to do? Because it's like I said, we don't know what to call. We don't know. We haven't shared this. We don't go to ceremonies. We don't go to church, and this is not supposed to happen. But in your own words, what kind of advice would you give people that might be going through the haunting of a shadow figure or any kind of entity?
I would say just don't be afraid, don't be scared. They're not, you know, just people, they're just, one time they were like us, they're probably curious, like we are with them, and just, you know, stay calm. If they're not really there to hurt anybody. You know, of course, if you start provoking, they're going to provoke. So that's what I would say. You want?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably say the same thing. Even when the shadow man or whatever apparently attacked me, it was frightening, but he never came back. And now it's more like, you know, well, maybe I invaded something. Maybe because I walked in on his thing because he was there, I guess, visiting my dad or looking at my dad or something because my dad was kind of sick. And now looking back, maybe I was the invader, not him. And he was just scared. Maybe I scared him. He was attacking me and then he left. I mean, I don't know, you know. And I pretty much just stay positive about the whole thing, you know, any kind of haunting, not even a shadow, but like you see something or something, noise happens. It's not all necessarily bad or negative. It's just somebody trying to get your attention or trying to tell you, yes, I'm here, you know. Sometimes it's family members and stuff making noises in your house, or you hear footsteps. Maybe it's a past family member or loved one coming back to visit. So it's not really, everything is all not negative about, you know, spirits visiting. I mean, that's all I can tell people. I mean.
Yeah, don't go after it. You know, I mean, if something happens like that, they maybe scared them or something. I wouldn't go after it because that's when they start getting, you know, they'll get bad. And, you know, just like anybody else, if you push them too far, they'll want to push back.
Yes, we have to treat them like you will treat any other person. Okay, when you walk into a place and you acknowledge the presence of a person, you don't start yelling at him or her. You don't start like demanding things like that. You walk in a respectful way. If you greet. And if they don't want to be talked to or bothered, they will let you know. If we had that capacity of seeing, like other people say, you know, they claim, they say, well, we can see spirits. Okay, if we all saw the spirits and then understand, okay, you are a spirit, but you are in the physical plane just like me. You know, treat each other with that equal respect like you treat. Yes, I'm over here. Every time we talk, happens. Sounds like
I can't hear you because the phone is cutting off. Hello?
Yes, we're right here.
Oh yeah, all of a sudden it went out.
Yeah, all of a sudden, just like I mentioned, every time we talk about paranormal, something happens with the audio, or so you know. It's treat the spirits with respect as you were treating someone in real life, in person, right? Because we're thinking,
yeah,
that, you know, there are feelings, there are ways, and if we were to encounter or be in any situation like this, just like if you don't want to be bothered, you say so, okay? And,
yeah.
You know, if you're sharing the same place with a,
yes.
with a spirit, just like both of you that have shared the same place with the spirit, what do you do there? You know, if you're the one being attacked, you know, talk and make that, you know, very clear. You don't want to be bothered in this way. You don't, you know. Spirits have to know that in this line of life, you know, life and death are both very much important for both of us, for all of us, because, you know, that's something that we will experience. Everyone will experience that. But making and crossing that line, like walking into someone's space and boo, I scare you, you know,
yeah.
Hey, you're disturbing me, you know. I like to listen to both of you because you both have very respectful ways on approaching these spiritual matters, these things that we all call paranormal. Both of you are very respectful people, and you're very respectful with the spiritual beings that are around you. And that is good medicine to share with the rest of the people that might be experiencing something like that. When you believe, you know, that when we experience this, I would like to hear your thoughts. I say that when a spirit has a manifestation of any kind in the place and you're the witness to it, I'm thinking, I don't know what you guys say, but you know, you let me know. I think that when something is manifesting and you're a witness to that, they're trying to communicate somehow. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, because otherwise, why would they try to get your attention or, you know, making sounds or whatever and stuff, or invading your space, like you said? I think most spirits have respect for us just like we would have respect for them. And to invade somebody's private space like that, where you're frightened or it makes you like, yeah. If we're doing it again. So,
right.
You know, yes.
Talking about spiritual manifestations, and here you go. You see, you're witnessing right now live what we've been saying all this time, that with the sounds of every time that we listen to something like this. Well, folks, you're listening to an interview with Linda and Denise Massanantiwa from L&D Paranormal Speakers. And as we're talking, you're hearing all of the interference that is occurring while we're live. Talking about equipment malfunctions. Have you ever, you know, they say that when you go and do an investigation, your batteries drain and you may start seeing the electronics malfunctions in different ways. And both of you, are both of you like the technicians, or one is the one that takes care of the electronics?
Well, actually, we take care of our own stuff. He has, like I said, he bought this brand new flare camera, thermal imaging camera, and every time he uses it, it goes off. It's not a battery or anything; it just shuts off. So, we did this park one night. It's a public park because a friend of mine said we should go there and check it out because she thinks there's something there, you know, not really haunted, but there's something there. So we did this, and he was using it, and suddenly it just went off again. Like it's done in the Pioneer Saloon and all over. And then he goes, oh. So I told him, just turn it back on. It's probably somebody just shut it off. But I had my spirit box, the SB7 box, going, and my voice recorder. It was kind of far away from us. And on there, right as it does it, you can hear a girl saying, laughing, like, I did it, like that. I did it. And then, hey, hey, like that. She's all happy that she did it. And then we were talking about it. We can't hear it. You know, we don't hear the voice. And we were talking about what happened to his flare camera. Said, oh, I bet the same ghost, that was me. I bet the same ghost did that, you know, whatever, the same spirit. And then you hear on the voice the same lady saying, I liked it. I liked it. Like, she was all happy. So I'm thinking, it's this lady, female ghost, that's spirit that is following him, and he likes to turn his flare camera up because he gets a reaction out of him every time.
Yeah, I probably, you know, I figure how to do it. I'm happy. I did it. I can feel that that was more like an achievement, a celebration. I think I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
So Dennis, they have fun turning off your FLIR camera off.
Yeah, hold on, we're working on one phone now. His other phone went out, so hold on. I'm gonna give the my phone.
Oh, okay, him. Okay. so you see, malfunctions. It's very common, and you've heard about it in paranormal investigations, and especially when there's you go to these places that don't have the electricity, like the utilities, again, makes it even harder when you depend on the batteries of that. So when they say that spiritual beings will draw the energy off the batteries, they can draw the energy off the midair, because this is something that it's all around us. I think if it's a natural resource, it will be used. Why would you think that they'll be using the energy off batteries? Do you think it's in a way, you know, I'm gonna pull this plug right now, and we're all gonna laugh about it? I don't know. That sounds funny. That disembodied boy, after turning off the FLIR clamor, will celebrate it that way. So is this another thing that you probably captured and have this audio?
Yeah, that is on. It is on. I think voice recorder. We did catch it, and that was kind of like wow. But I think that, you know, they may be using our the batteries, because it's the closest to them that they could use the batteries, and that's easier to get to. I think that's why they maybe use the equipment, the people's equipment, working off of that. And but they, I get, they're all over. Spirits are all over, and they just want to play around sometimes. And that night, they wanted to play with the equipment. Depends on, you know, the age also. It sounded like a little girl, or a little boy or a little girl, and it's playful, you know. So.
It's like that celebration. I disabled it. It's almost like I figured this out, how I can turn it off. And if it's a spirit that has that joy of just doing these kind of things. You see, not all hauntings are meant to scare you or anything like that. You know, it's like I say, sometimes we probably are the spirits for them, and we don't know. Do you think that we're coming closer to understanding the paranormal? I mean, I remember we started the interview, and you acknowledged that you were a bit of a skeptic. Has anything changed in you throughout the years as you entered this more and more?
I think so. I look at it as I'm still in that phase where I want to learn. How did they do this? How did that happen? And I'm just. That's why when I go into a place, I'm not really scared. I more like looking into how it's done, and how to, and where is this person, and can they do this, can they do that, and how do they do it, and you know, and I really like to go more further into it, mentally, how it works, how it does, how it's happening. So that's me.
Yep. Yeah, it's also, I agree with you, and it's also what drives, you know, I also would like to know how is that possible, how is this, and that's what drives me to the different places, even though I might feel inside, but maybe this story is a little bit, you know, it has increased with time, because not all stories are, you know, you can hear a story, and by the time, you know, that story is shared with another person and that gets to you, is like totally different. And it's a boom out of proportion, and that, and you say, wow, I have to go, I have to see that. But to witness a paranormal event and capturing that on film, video, or recording is something that once you have it, you know, most people say, you know what, I can't believe it. Maybe you faked that one, you know. But once you really have it in your hands and you're thinking, you know what, this was not supposed to happen, or it just happened because, you know, I was right in the right place in the right time, and this is what was left, and I have it here. I mean, you go back, because it opens that door. You say, you know, I want to understand what's going on here more. Right. How curious that it's very easy to capture the audio of things. Do you think that these sounds can come from natural airwaves? Like, you know, there are signals that are constantly being sent back and forth, but
I don't really trust the voice box that much, as I'd rather have EVP, the recorder. I believe in the recorder more than the voice box, because the voice box, it could be a something airwave, like you say, and where the recorder catches exactly from right there, from our voice or from their voice, and I think that's more believable to me.
I agree with you too, because we have used many, many devices. I'm going to play this one for you. When we started using the Echo Box, creates this back and forth echo, and it says that spiritual communications can be possible from there. But a lot of the sounds are pre-recorded sounds. But look how curious! I asked the spirit to see if they could say my name, and many people call me Tony Wolfpaw, but and I heard the voice say Tony. But it was the male voice that stood out using this app, because it's an app, you know, that you download. I heard a male voice stood out, and that male voice, because I was constantly asking, can you say my name, Tony Wolfpaw? And it was forcing itself, saying Tony and Wolfpaw, but of course these are bits and pieces of things, but the male voice called it out very loud and clear, and called me by the name that I use on Facebook. Take a listen.
Yeah, I do believe corporate. I tend to lean toward it. You know, the box. If we were out there and playing cards one day I'm calling out numbers and showing them the card. And they're calling out what the number it is, and it was like, oh, they're correct, you know, they were doing that, it through the box. So I tend to lean toward it if they're correct with what I'm asking them. Where if it's just a random, you know, saying something or something, it could be anything, you know, a station or something. That's what.
You know what, Dennis? When thinking about the Skull Project, I don't know if you saw that. I've repeated this again and again, but it's because I found that documentary very interesting. They disabled this, you know, the cassette recorder. They have this regular cassette recorder, and then disabling, like cutting completely off the microphone and putting it to record, and they're able to capture EVP. But directly answering, like, is this the Skull Project experiment? And they all laughing, yes, it is. It's us. Very interesting. I see that we're making, you know, that this kind of interaction with a recorder that they completely cut off the microphone to make it even more mind-boggling to you. See how interesting the paranormal can be? I like small groups. I like investigating with small groups, and both of you make that perfect match.
Right. You get too many people, and then it just they get in the way. It's not they get in the way, but it's too many. Disturbance with the ghosts. It's better with the smaller group, like you say. And the two of us is kind of perfect, I think. I think I might need one more person, but I probably two of us. Right now, it's fine.
It is the perfect match. A brother and sister. Folks, we're talking with Linda and Denise and Dennis Masanamtua from LND Paranormal Seekers. And you guys have a Facebook page, a channel, and also there is a book. The book is called The True Ghost Experience and the Other Unexplained. It was written by Linda. And is there any other coming book that we can expect in the future from both of you?
Not from me. Maybe Linda. You got a new book coming out?
I know that you guys have a lot. You guys must have a lot of pictures. I like to see pictures of people doing investigations and of places. You know, not just the picture of the little orbs, and so people say, "Oh, that's dust." No, wait, that's a light. That's an orb. That's legit. And that's not. But I like to see. I would like to see more of both of you and folks. If you want to acquire the book, True Ghost Experience and the Other Unexplained by Linda Masanamtua from LND Paranormal Seekers. We're going to be sharing those links on Facebook, okay? So you will not miss out on anything. And also, thanks. The people in the chat room are also listening and following through these the interview. Future cases, are you guys onto visiting other places?
Yes, you know, we're trying to I've been doing research online about different places, like these really old buildings and stuff, but a lot of them you're not allowed to go in there, or there's somebody who's a new owner and they will not let you in. Like they say, the Red Fox House here in Las Vegas is actually haunted by Red Fox. So I was thinking, because I've seen videos of people going in there, other teams, and doing their own investigations. And I was kind of interested in that, but I contacted the owners now. It's a real estate owner, and they said no because of the privacy issues, because their clients' files are in there, and they don't want, you know, the privacy issue. So I couldn't do that. But, yeah, we're looking around for different places all over. And I think in April they're going to have a Paracon in Virginia City. And I was invited to go by Noel Shekels, the owner, and one of his employees, Jill. She helps with the lockdowns. She's usually mainly doing them on her own. So I might be going to that in April and doing investigations out there, because that's what it's for.
All right. Well, you know, keep us posted with that, with those. Places that you might be going to, because that way the people that are in the close proximity could go to these events and meet you in person. And I'm sure that if you do go to these places, maybe your book will be available over there. Folks, we're listening to Linda and Denise Masanamtua from LND. 60 seconds, come on, I want to be more on the radio. It was an awesome interview that we had this morning, and remember that we will be sharing the links with you. And thanks a lot. We've been also airing this program on Apache Radio Network, the people in San Carlos Reservation is also taking a listen to that, because we like to talk about the paranormal. You're listening to Tony Wolfpaul's show, The Chat Room. Wow, what a great morning. We're going to start sharing that link. Thanks a lot, Dennis and Linda, for being on the show with us.
Well, thanks a lot for having us.
And yes, folks, it's, you know, this show really ends on a good note. We're going to be sharing the links. So thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the chat room, and be safe, be loved, everyone, okay?
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.